Welcome to the Mysterious Multiverse Podcast.
We discuss all things metaphysical, paranormal, and otherwise unexplainable.
We are a group of friends who are all on different stages of our spiritual journey and therefore have varying perspectives regarding the topics we will cover.
The opinions expressed in this podcast do not necessarily reflect the opinions of other persons or groups we may be affiliated with, our sponsors, or producers.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 2 of the Mysterious Multiverse. I'm here with Amy and Tristan and Jason, and my name's Carolyn. And in this episode, we're going to be talking about cord cutting, what it means, how to do it, what the pros and cons are, and probably a lot of random chatter about other things loosely connected somewhere in between.
Well, first of all, let's give everyone kind of a brief definition of what cord cutting is. So for those of you who don't know, you have some idea what we're going to be talking about. So a cord cutting ceremony or cord cutting is you're cutting the energetic ties that you have between another person. Now these ties, they form over time whenever you have a relationship with somebody. So you get to know somebody, and every experience you have with that person, there's another tie that forms until you have what's called a cord. So a cord cutting ceremony is when somebody becomes toxic in your life, or your relationship is no longer such that you wish to continue it. There's a ceremony that you can cut the cord and sever yourself from that person. So what happens if you don't do that is, say you have a bad relationship and you get into another relationship and you start noticing that some of the same issues you had in your previous relationship are coming up. You're getting angry at certain things, you're having stronger emotional reactions to things, and that could be a sign that you haven't cut a cord with somebody. There's a relationship out there that you never symbolically ended for yourself in such a way that connection is now interfering with your life. So what we'll be discussing today is how to cut cords, when to cut cords, and some of the reasons behind doing it or even not doing it.
So there are a variety of ways to do cord cutting. Some of it is just setting sort of an intention and mm-hmm. thinking it through in your mind, because thoughts are things.
Right.
There are also physical ceremonies or rituals that you can go through for doing some cord cutting. The way that I envision cords is like a physical string, like a white energy vibration, like a piece of yarn that connects me to some other person, any person. In fact, every person mm-hmm. that I've ever had an interaction with mm-hmm. in my entire life. Mm-hmm. Like Jason said, it becomes a cord because that energy stream gets reinforced over and over and over right. and over and over again, and it becomes like a giant rope mm-hmm. as opposed to just this thin little wisp.
Right.
So I've done a cord cutting or an energy severing ceremony. I use a selenite wand because it's large. It's a crystal structure. Some people use quartz,
smoky quartz and clear quartz and stuff.
Yeah. So in this case, a wand is really kind of a shape. It's just sort of a long oblong shape that's really kind of like a Harry Potter wand.
Yeah. Or
maybe it's only as long as a pen. And so selenite is a type of crystal that it's white. It has a higher vibration, clearing, cleansing, light energy to it. It's mm-hmm. maybe not as powerful as some other things that you could use, but it's something that I have on hand and wave it up and down the length of my entire body, sort of in the same motions that people do a smudging with sage. You go from top to bottom, side to side, front to back, mm-hmm. between your legs, everywhere, clipping these cords that are no longer serving me.
So what we were talking about, what I wanted to know from you, and this is open to everyone here, mm-hmm. is when you hear the term cord cutting, what comes to mind? What are you thinking of? Because it automatically, to me, is like a baby being cut from a placenta,
yeah.
where the cord is cut. Yeah. And since that's actually my profession, I work in labor and delivery doing C-sections, I see a lot of cord cutting. And mm-hmm. that makes a lot of sense. If you're thinking about old Wiccan pagan ways, ceremonies and dealing with stuff, that makes sense to use that. However, when you're cutting a cord from a human being from the placenta to the baby, from the separating the mother and the baby, you're not cutting a cord in the same symbolic way that you're cutting it in the instance that we're talking about.
Right.
Because after you cut that cord, you still nurture and love that baby.
Right.
But when you're cutting a cord for a human being in your life, that's different. You're severing those ties. So when you hear that, term, what analogies would you think of to describe the cord that connects you and another person?
Well, interestingly enough, I actually do kind of think about it as an umbilical cord. I was going to say that earlier. I see it that way just because that's such an intimate attachment,
mm-hmm.
very personal, and it's almost just like life connected to life. And for me, I feel like when you're doing a cord cutting, severing that tie is really just, it is a complete disassociation and just a very symbolic split from this other person. I mean, to me, it's a really important ritual to do because obviously we do run into people that are toxic in our lives, whether it be friendships, relationships, coworkers, family members,
mm-hmm.
That we have to really, and it could be difficult to do that with some people because of those certain ties, but yet the effects these people have on your own life are so toxic, it's just bringing you down. And so for me, one thing I do before I do a cord cutting is I actually allow my higher self to meet with their higher self. And of course, this depends on the situation. If it's more of like a physical abuse and type something like that, I might not do that.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, it's like I meet their higher self and actually have a little chit chat. And then also set up my boundaries. I go ahead and set up like a major boundary to basically say like, this is goodbye. And then I perform the cord cutting ritual. And that to me feels very final.
Very good. I like the way you go about that.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah.
I also visualized when I've done cord cutting before, I have visualized it as Carolyn described and also as you've described, just sort of a mix of the two, like a string of white light that is going from my umbilicus to the other person's umbilicus, you know, their belly button. And we're just connected. It's just like a life force connection because, mm-hmm. you know, everyone in your life, you've had, you know, some sort of energetic connection to. So I do see that as the white string of light, and I actually had someone guide me through a cord cutting before, and she did say, you know, if you feel safe to have a conversation with their higher self before you cut the cord, to ask their higher self essentially if they have your best intention at heart.
Mm.
And sort of see what response you get from that person. If it's someone that, you know, you're cutting the cord with, a family member or a friend or, you know, an authority figure, whoever it is, see what response they have, and sort of try to have a conversation. And if you feel that they do not have your best interests in mind and in heart, then you basically, you know, you can cut it with whatever you want, but you basically let that person know, I am cutting the cord, I'm cutting the energetic, you know, or the emotional connection with you, and you literally snip the cord with a pair of scissors or whatever you have, And you can visualize that person just floating off into space, just floating away from you.
Now, when you say you talk to that person or communicate that to that person, are you physically communicating it to that person, or are you talking in your head to their higher selves through your higher self?
The way that it was done with me, this guided cord cutting that I did, it was my higher self speaking to their higher self.
So no physical communication was taking place.
No physical communication. This was all visualization, meditation. And I do want to say what's interesting is that when I think about cord cutting, and when cord cutting sometimes comes up, we think about that this is a termination of the relationship 100%. Mm-hmm. And it really doesn't have to be that way. It's a termination of your emotional connection that's really inhibiting your progress, your growth, your interactions, with them. Because sometimes we have to cut cords with people that we are going to see, family members, or, maybe it's a boss that really upsets you. You're really triggered by that person in some way. I think that you can still cut the cord with them. It's sort of an emotional connection to that person so that you're not triggered. So you can use it in that way as well. And I have done that with a friend of mine who I felt very triggered by, and who I felt very manipulated by. And I was able to cut that cord, but still occasionally have that person in my life without it affecting me at all.
I like that. That's a mature way to go about it. And it kind of goes with what Tristan said, where he was talking about boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
And so if every interaction that you have with somebody is a cord, and it's a good interaction or a bad interaction, or however you want to label it, positive energy or negative energy, you can cut particular cords.
Mm-hmm.
And like in your example, you've cut some cords, but not all the cords, because
mm-hmm.
the person's still in your life. You cut some of the negative cords.
Mm-hmm.
But what Tristan, I think, could add to that, and you're already doing it, I'm sure, on your own, is after you cut that cord, you physically establish with that person, we now have these boundaries,
mm-hmm.
and we don't talk about this topic anymore, or we're not going to talk about that situation anymore. For you and I to go forward as friends, this is the part of the relationship we're going to keep, but this is the part that is over with. I don't want to discuss this anymore. It doesn't exist anymore. Is that kind of...
Well, I think you can definitely do it that way, but in the way that I experienced it, it was sort of like, it just happened. That person stopped engaging with me. And so it wasn't really a conversation that I had to have.
Mm-hmm.
It was something that just literally happened over the course of probably 1 or 2 weeks.
Well,
it was just a complete, just over 1 or 2 weeks, that person just stopped really communicating with me.
That's great.
When you cut the cord between you and another person, a result of that could be everybody that was attached to that cord and attached to that person can fall away too, even though that part was unintentional. Doesn't mean it's bad. Maybe that's part of the process. But cutting cords is basically serious work. It's easy to do, but you have to make sure that that person warranted it,
mm-hmm.
because you're going to have challenging people in your life mm-hmm. all the time, and they're here to teach you a lesson.
Right.
So if you cut all the cords to every person that upsets you or challenges you or becomes an obstacle in your life, then you may be cutting out a lot of learning opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
However, there will always be toxic people in your life
right.
that are inhibiting your growth, absolutely.
Right.
And those need to be severed for good.
Exactly.
And then there's people like Amy said, where you can cut some of the ties, some of the bad ties, but still keep what was good in the relationship.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I think also when it comes to talking from your higher self to their higher self,
mm-hmm.
the one thing I would say, and I think Amy actually had done this, was really using your intuition because that person can deceive you, even their higher self. So if you ask, hey, are you here for my greatest good? Or, you know, they can still lie in that state. And so you do have to use your intuition. And I know that many times, sometimes you have to say it three times. I've been told that before, where you ask the same question three times to make sure you're getting the same answer. But I still would advise to use your intuition in that, because if something feels off, you know, trust that, because they could be deceiving you.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think there's some bigger picture issues there, in that if you're asking, if your higher self is asking someone else's higher self if they're there for your greatest good, and in this life space you feel like they're not, but their highest self is saying that they are, you kind of have to respect the higher self answer, because we're hindered here by not being able to see our own bigger picture sometimes. Mm. Maybe, and it's sometimes it's hard to think that going through bad things is ever a good thing or for our highest good. But sometimes we have to have those tragedies and those traumas and those dramas and those just flat out terrible things in order to have that experience to learn and grow. And that's part of the problem with, and where some people are putting the kibosh on cord cutting, because sometimes you don't see the bigger picture and you just sort of universally cord cut a whole bunch of people, or you cord cut someone who you think is torturing you, but really this is a life scenario that you set up because maybe you have a past life thing that you're paying reparations for, mm-hmm, by being the person who's receiving the raw end of the deal. But you don't remember prior lifetimes where you were the person doling out the dark situation that you're now balancing the scales by taking it. This really is kind of a serious thing. And the first time that I did this, I didn't take it serious enough. I think this is what Jason was alluding to. I didn't take it serious enough. And that platter piled up with all these interactions, and I just dumped the whole thing. And it took me many months to realize that there really was just this huge void of space around me, that all that stuff did go away. It was weight that I was carrying that I didn't need to, but I also, it just felt like everything and everybody was kind of at a distance from me, because I had just with one giant sweep just sort of cleared the board. Just go into it thoughtfully, you know, don't go willy-nilly. Don't do it when you're mad. Do it, mm-hmm, with thought process.
Don't right. Go when you're angry.
Yeah. No. It requires a lot of self-reflection, mm-hmm, beforehand. Right. A lot of thought needs to go into, because it is a serious thing, mm-hmm, and it can be, you know, feel like a very permanent thing. Yeah, so I agree with that, definitely.
And I definitely want to iterate to everyone who's listening, if you're going through physical abuse or emotional abuse, those aren't things you hold on to just because you think you deserve it from a past life.
No.
Those are reasons to definitely cut the cord.
Mm-hmm.
So never, don't go through those things and just accept it as your lot in life.
Mm-hmm. No. For me too, it's really important, the people you deal with, because especially someone that has like narcissistic personality disorder. Mm. I've had to cut a cord with someone that had that. And again, it's like dealing with their higher self. There's a lot of manipulation even there in that space. Mm. So for me, sometimes I would love to believe that when I speak to someone's higher self, it's going to be like this great person that I'm talking to, but that's not always the case. I do feel like I can be deceived by them, especially if it's someone that's highly manipulative to you, just a normal life. And plus someone that has a mental illness, sometimes they, you know what I mean? It's just, as far as that one, a personality disorder like that is very strong, and it's very tough and challenging. But again, that can be very abusive, even physically, but also very much psychologically and emotionally. So cutting the cord with them, like I said, it can be like where you might be deceived. You might ask that question three times and then say, yes, I have your greatest purpose. Yes, I have your greatest purpose. Yes, I have your greatest purpose. But in your gut, for me personally, in my experience, it was kind of like, no, you don't. No, you don't. And this is an abusive part of my life that I have to cut a cord and disconnect from. And doing so also allowed me to get rid of a lot of my own type of baggage carried through that, the pain. You know, when you're still experiencing emotions from things that happened to you, almost like PTSD in a way from relationships, I feel like when you cut a cord, it starts letting that dissipate and, you know, allowing you to be free. I mean, I feel like, you know, obviously it is very serious, but when you do a cord cutting with someone that is just truly abusive in your life, mm-hmm. it's a very freeing experience mm-hmm. for you.
Mm-hmm. It absolutely is.
Yeah.
And like I said, I'm not an advocate of cutting cords with people who, you know, you've just reached your maximum capacity for dealing mm-hmm. with whatever right. it is that the situation is. And I've had to, you know, separate from, do cord cutting with very, very close family. Mm-hmm. Right. And that is painful.
Right.
That is a very painful, very difficult thing to do, even when it's so toxic. There's no other way. But I tell you, when you get to the point where you have to do that and you make that decision that you're going to do that, it is so freeing. I feel just a huge weight lifted off my shoulders to not have to deal with those people anymore.
Right, of course. Jason, I was wondering, I don't know if we heard exactly how you do a cord cutting ritual.
I haven't done a cord cutting ceremony with a person, but I have done it with ideas, mm-hmm. objects, and habits. Mm. Now, the most recent one, maybe I did, was with I took a challenge. It was supposed to be like 90 days no beer. Or it turned into a year no beer, which means a year no alcohol.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like I felt that was a huge problem in my life, but it was enough so to where I felt like, what if I took it out of my life? What if, you know, we didn't spend every weekend going to like a sports bar and just hanging out? What if we did something else instead?
Right.
What if, you know, every time I ordered a beverage when we went out to dinner, it wasn't beer or it wasn't a glass of wine? You know, what would my life be like with that? And so the way I did it was I listed out all the negative things about it, all the positive things about it, before I even decided whether or not to cut the cord from that. Mm. And then I decided I'm going to cut the cord. And the way I did that was, like in the last episode, I talked about the crystal grid.
Yeah.
And I talked about the coin. That was the original use for that coin, was to remind me of all the reasons that wasn't in my life anymore and how lucky I am that that's behind me. And so I did my ceremony. I thanked my bad habit mm-hmm. for being in my life to take care of the problems which I have and had that helped me deal with those problems. Thank you for being there when I needed you. Thank you for helping me find some space to breathe, some time to calm down. Thank you for doing that for me. But I no longer need you. I found more productive, more healthy ways to deal with these things. And I thank you and I let you go.
That's great.
And I kept the coin to remind me. And every couple months, I'd recharge my coin with that intention.
Yeah.
You know, put my incense, put my candle, let it sit a whole round until the candle was completely out, the incense was completely out, take the coin, put it back in my pocket, it's recharged. Okay, so that's why I wanted to talk to you about how do you guys feel about doing that with objects and habits and ideas instead of just people. Does that make sense to have yes. the same kind of ceremony? Yeah.
I've not thought of it in that way, but in terms of cord cutting with someone, a particular part of or a particular idea you have of that person, I've attempted it from that angle. So for example, if you have an idea that, you know, somebody is better than you, that you feel less than every time you're around that person, obviously you want to self-reflect on that. But if something that keeps coming up and up and up and it's affecting your relationship with that person, and you want to have that person in your life and you want to, you know, engage more with that person in a positive way and not let that inhibit you, then I think that you could cord cut an idea associated with a person in the same way that you could cord cut a certain type of emotion that you would feel around that type of person, or, you know, something of that nature. I don't know, Tristan.
That makes sense. I like that.
Yeah. Well, for me, I think that's a great idea. I mean, I know that for me, there's things that we will think about, and it's almost like you're trying not to desperately. And sometimes the things we try not to think about are the thoughts that come to us, you know, it just barges in. I remember before, what I would try to do is as soon as a thought would come to my head that I didn't want, it was almost like changing the radio station quickly to a different channel. And I would literally have just some other thought ready, you know, prepared to just think on that and just not allow that thought in my head. Because we all have that. There's things that, you know, for instance, I mean, you have people who every time they look in the mirror, they're thinking a bad thought about the way they look. They have a part of their body they don't like.
Right.
You know, there's something they don't like about themselves. And so that's something that I feel like cutting a cord in that area would be really helpful.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times we're believing these lies truly about ourselves. We don't even see ourselves as we are, you know, for that one instance. So I think in that way, that's really great. A lot of times we can keep ourselves from things with our, you know, beliefs and stuff. Like, for instance, if you just think yourself as a failure, or you're never going to get a promotion, you're never going to get a better job, you are going to stay stuck. And so you need to be able to do a cord cutting to break free from that horrible pattern, you know, the negative self-talk, and go ahead and just break free from that and allow yourself to then say, you know, I am worthy. You know, I am going to get that promotion. I am going to get that job. And just really, you know, we can change our brain and rewire it, right? Scientifically.
Right.
So I feel like, you know, cutting the cord is maybe even a way that we can, that could help people on that path.
Yeah. Yeah. Getting rid of dead weight. I like the idea of cutting a cord that of a belief that you have with yourself.
Yeah.
That's an interesting concept. I like that.
Yeah.
This picture just came into my mind where we were talking earlier about thoughts are things. It creates an energy wave stream,
right?
Which is how you manifest things. So if there's something that you really want, or something that you believe, even if it's negative or it's positive, it's something that you want that's good, or you believe something about yourself that's bad, you are creating an energy wave stream of that thought, and you're allowing that vibration to create that like begets like situation. So if you keep believing these bad things about yourself when you look in the mirror, you are living in that lower vibrational frequency. So a cord cutting would be literally cutting that lower vibration frequency and allowing it just to go off and dissipate itself into the universe.
Right.
And you work on bringing yourself to a higher vibration frequency.
Yeah. I have a question. What are your thoughts on it once you actually disconnect and do a cord cutting? What about a person maybe trying to reattach?
So when you sever the cord between you and another person, you're severing the cord. It's like you're out there and your grass has got out of control, or your gardening or whatever, and you cut it. You're not cutting the root of the grass. You're not cutting the root of the plant. The root is still there, and the root can still grow. So if you keep continually thinking of that person, or that person's thinking of you, the cords that you cut are slowly growing either from them to you, or from you to them, or coming back together. And then you have the cord you have to deal with again.
Very creepy crawly fingers you have there.
Right. So all of those, the energy is going to connect again. You're going to start creating that back and forth again. It can grow back if you allow it to. All right. So one of the things when you do your cord cutting is you have to be very intentional on why you're doing it, who you're doing it to, the ramifications of you doing it. And then when you're doing it, not only imagine cutting the cord, but maybe even going in and finding it within yourself where these things started, where they came from, and begin to disentangle the roots from your heart.
Yeah.
And let that go too.
That's good.
So not only cutting the cord, but destroying the roots that created that cord in the first place. If it's that toxic of a relationship.
Most definitely. That's good.
How that would physically manifest in taking the roots out. Yeah, I mean, you can do it mentally. You just imagine you in the garden digging deep and pulling out those roots. But physically, that would mean removing that person from your life in all the little ways that you haven't thought about. Block them from Facebook. Remove their address from your phone book. Get rid of old pictures that maybe... Whatever keeps those cords alive to wherever you see it, you don't want that energy starting again.
Right.
That's really good.
Blocking their phone number and your phone.
Right. All those little things that you wouldn't normally think about.
They're not really little things though because those are actual physically manifesting the cutting of the cord.
Right.
Another thing that you could throw in there is actually doing a salt ceremony where you almost creating a salt circle, which would help break and sever the regrowth of a cord like that.
I was interested. Can you explain, like, what a salt ceremony would entail?
Well, so salt is used for a lot of things. It's used for protection and cleansing. A lot of people will salt the perimeter of their house. Go through and do a cleansing ceremony where you sage and remove all heavy energy, dark energy, negative energy. You also have to replace that intentionally with good energy. Once you have a clean house and property, then a lot of people will go through and seal that with salt. It doesn't matter what kind of salt it is. Some people use white salt, Himalayan salt, black salt. It could get as complicated as you want it to be, but it doesn't have to be. Just salt. And then you seal literally the perimeter of your space. So in doing a salt ceremony, when you're doing a cord cutting with someone in particular, you could also create literally a salt circle around yourself, which will specifically to this cord cutting ceremony, almost like, you know, it would literally trap energy from coming back at you because it's a protection. And once you've severed your cords from the inside, it would keep your own cords from growing back out of your energetic circle.
Sort of like a very physical thing that you could do after you did the visualization, after you did the cleansing with the sage and the Palo Santo.
It's kind of like a lockdown.
Yeah, you sort of seal.
Right.
So you would just basically sprinkle like a circle of salt around yourself.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
And I know that's something too, that once you do that, You can just keep doing that with intention afterwards. So you keep picturing right. that circle around you. Yes. And I've heard it as just like creating circles. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like you're making a circle. And I also heard that you could even put a circle around the other person to where it's almost keeping them within themselves away from you.
Yes. Hmm. We're going to discuss a ceremony a lot because it's going to come up. It's going to come up with crystal grids. It's going to come up with different color candles. And the reason why that's important to the people out there listening who are unfamiliar with some of these rituals is because every time you perform a physical act with the intention of what you're doing, it's a reminder to yourself and to your mind and to your higher self that you are trying to manifest whatever this is. Mm-hmm. It's like a physical way of saying, yes, I meant that. And the more layers of intention you add on, the crystals, the candles, the incense, the mantras, the meditation, whatever you want to do, you're adding layers of intention. It's like you're going out there and you're thinking, I want this. But not only am I thinking that, I'm writing down, I want this. I'm putting that on my vision board. I right. want this. I'm telling my friends, I want this. That's what you're doing with each level of intention. You're making that a stronger bond to make sure it lasts. And so with cord cutting, or whether you're setting your intentions for the year, whether you're doing any kind of magic or any kind of intention setting or any of that, what you believe is most important. It doesn't matter what crystal it is. It doesn't matter what kind of salt it is. But if you use a salt that you know in your mind is perfect for this type of work, you're going to believe in whatever you're doing more.
Right.
If you use a crystal that you know will, like I use yellow citrine to attract abundance, not right. orange calcite. but I believe that.
That was also abundance, and, just in a different way.
Right. So anyway, my belief in that will attract that.
Right.
My belief is stronger because I added on a layer of my belief.
Right.
Okay. So somebody who's skeptical can say, oh, that's just a rock and it doesn't really do anything. Or that's just a color and it's just, that's just the way that the light refracts off of this element and causing that you to see it doesn't mean anything. That's true on one level, but on another level, us thinking maketh it so, when you take energy, you can mold it into different things with your intention.
Right.
Your best magical resource is your mind. Your best magical tool is your finger. That's your magic wand of intention. And you don't need any more of that. But when you add layers of those materials on, it strengthens your belief. It strengthens what you're trying to manifest. Mm-hmm. It strengthens your attention. Mm-hmm. And so that's why we're using ceremonies like cord cutting and intention setting and different things like that. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to
That's great.
Mention I love that.
I've got another thing. So what about like when you run into maybe, like I'm just going to say protection, like you know, like I know a lot of us wear like the tools for evolution, you know, as far as like the crystal and sacred geometry. I think that might be interesting to talk to people as far as just like things you can do to protect yourself, maybe from even having a cord formed maybe with some people.
Absolutely. That, in fact, that's one of the first stages I think you would use before you went to cord cutting. Cord cutting is finally filing a restraining order with the universe saying, I no longer want this person to contact me.
Right.
When you do something like self-protection, you're keeping those cords from being formed in the first place, or keeping the negative energy keep going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. You made the intention you want to cut it. But first, you're going to, instead of saying, I want a restraining order, you're first going to just file a complaint.
Right.
So filing a complaint is your protection. So you make a protection around yourself. Or
for example, would literally be envisioning a bubble. Mm-hmm. People always talk about, this is my bubble.
Right.
Well, there literally is a bubble of space around you.
Your aura.
But you can actually envision that getting bigger or smaller, depending on if that's what you need. But you could literally envision your aura becoming just this bubble of energy, and you, like Glinda the Good Witch, are floating in a bubble of energy, which is your protected space.
Yeah.
And it's not that you don't allow things in or out, but things don't just come in or out willy-nilly. It is your first line of protection. Make it as pretty as you want. It can be all sparkly. It can look like a soap bubble. Yeah. It can look get opaque so it seems like nobody can see through it. Nothing can come through it. You could make it purple.
I kind of envision. I think mine's
glittery,
color.
Sparkly.
The Death Star with Constantine wire. Yeah.
If you're really, really serious, then you make it look like it's on fire.
Ooh,
it's
like
fire coming up. And you're just floating around in this little bubble. Ooh. With just like flames.
Violet flames.
Yeah, flames and glass like packs. That. So your bubble's just like... Yep.
So, yes, I think what you said, Tristan, about protection is a great first step. That should awesome. Be one of the first things you do.
Yeah.
Before you elevate it or escalate it all the way to the cord cutting.
Definitely. I definitely feel like, you know, because it's like that's also protecting you psychically from even just like the psychic vampires, you know, sucking your energy from you. Mm-hmm. So it might not be people you would even cut a cord with, but also just like the regular people in your life that... you know, they have an effect on you. So definitely protection is the first step. And there's so many different ways that you can protect yourself. You know, if you don't have a tool like we wear, I mean, you could put, you know, even like black tourmaline in your pocket or and just envision just like the white light just all around you. And like you said, with your aura, I mean, that's perfect. I mean, really, that in itself is a really good protection. To keep people away. Mm-hmm. Most definitely. And what I find that's so interesting is for people, if they haven't tried it before, you can feel your own aura and even other people's aura. And it's just like this shift. If you bring your hand, you know, put your arm outstretched and then start bringing your hand closer into you, there's like a point where it's like it almost stops. And it's like that's where like the energy field is, right, with your own aura. And you can feel that on other people as well. And I just find that fascinating because right there, it's just like a proven way to just see the energy that really does exist around us and in us and everything. It's everywhere. But that's pretty interesting. I love that energy field. To be able to feel that's very cool.
Mm-hmm. Hashtag all around us film.
I was thinking that in my head.
That can be cut. But do you want to talk about maybe how you can tell the difference between someone you need to cut a cord with? Like, how do you tell the difference between someone who's a toxic person and someone who, sort of like what Carolyn was alluding to, you have this agreement with, unbeknownst to you, but you sort of have this agreement with in this lifetime where this person's triggering you and it's meant for your growth. And if you cut the cord with that person maybe too soon, you could potentially be missing out on some personal growth through that relationship with that person, the negative aspects of the relationship with that person.
We were talking about that earlier.
Yeah, in my opinion, the first thing that tells the difference is there any physical abuse or emotional abuse going on? Mm-hmm. If that's the case, then they have to be eliminated. Mm-hmm. You don't, unless you're seeing a psychologist or seeing a therapist and they're helping you work through this, you don't accept that on your own because you shouldn't have to deal with that on your own. Mm-hmm. So seek help, but if you're going to cord cut, that's a great reason to do it. Okay, so then you have the different levels of, okay, well, it's not physical abuse, it's not emotional abuse, but it is toxic. Mm-hmm. So I would write down the benefits of this relationship, this person's name, the benefits of me continuing a relationship with you. Mm-hmm. The negative things that I have to deal with as a result of having a relationship with you would be in the other column. Mm-hmm. For example, every time we get together with friends and you're invited, You monopolize the whole conversation by telling old stories of how horrible we were as kids. And you do it every single time, and you're putting me down on these stories, and it makes me feel bad. Mm. Okay, so that goes into that column. Maybe in the good column is whenever I see you, I'm reminded, you know, you're my oldest friend, and all of these fun things that we did together. I really want to keep you in my life because we have that history. Mm-hmm. That's a good thing. Mm-hmm. A bad thing is you try to sabotage every positive thing I do, or you try to put down every idea that I bring to you. Mm-hmm. And that can go in the bad column. So at the very end, you add up everything in each column. Mm-hmm. And give it a numeric value if you want to, on just like a medical one, or how do you feel from here to here? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And if it's way toxic, more toxic than it is good for you, then it's time to consider cutting mm-hmm. those cords. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Mm-hmm.
If it's challenging, for example, every time I tell you whatever accomplishment I have, you spout off with, yeah, but think of what you could have done if you actually spent the whole week working on that. Or think of what you could have done if you started that last month. You know, the things that are challenging me maybe to become a better person, but scare me because maybe I don't want to put myself out there. I've cut those cords before with opportunities because I was too scared to move forward. Mm. And that's a problem. I should have not cut those cords. Those cords were challenging me to become a better person. Mm. So if I were to write down the same analysis, this is the opportunity I have. These are the things I can get from it. These are the things I don't like. And most of the only thing in the don't like column is I'm scared of change. Then mark that off and don't cut that cord. Mm-hmm. That's meant to challenge you and inspire you. Keep that in your life. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that makes sense.
That's really good stuff. I'd like to just circle back around actually to family members and relatives, only because I know that when I've talked to people before, that is a very challenging one to cut a cord with, because you have people where it's like, well, that's my brother, you know? And, you know, another, you know, example would be like, maybe you had a really great relationship with your brother growing up, but maybe they changed and now they're toxic to you and actually like abusive. And you keep holding on to these memories from the past desperately, and still, this is my blood, this is my family. And I've seen where people have been very scared to cut a cord with that person. So, you know, what would be the best thing to maybe say to them?
Well, I've had that very same situation. It wasn't a brother, but it was another very close family member who, it was exactly that situation. They were fantastic when I was growing up. My favorite person on the planet. And things changed with them a bit, as, you know, they had kind of the school of hard knocks, but the school of hard knocks changed them, not me. And they started getting rougher and harder and meaner, and it altered our relationship because I didn't allow whatever those things were. Those weren't my experiences. So seemingly, in their eyes, my life was better than their life was going. And even though, you know, whatever was good or bad for me wasn't any reflection on them, they started seeing me as, you know, they would do things to like put me down or say bad things to me. And eventually the relationship became incredibly toxic. The reason why that went on too long, because there was still some good left in that person that you always hope you can turn that around. But at some point you have to realize that who they are now is not who they used to be. And despite the fact that we are blood or were at some point incredibly close, as you go through life, you can go through many, many different lifetimes. I feel like since I was a kid, I've probably had 6 or 8 different lifetimes. Mm-hmm. You know, since I graduated high school, I've had 4 or 5 different lifetimes. And
totally.
Who we all were 10, 20, 30, 40 years ago is not who we are now. And I can't get those people back.
Right.
They have evolved and made their choices, and they are who they are now. And they're never going to be who they used to be. And it's almost better to let those people go so that I can still have those fond memories of who they were
right.
and the great times that we did have. and not let the current level of toxic life, human, because I can't fix it, I can't change it, but it's affecting me. And there's no good coming of this relationship anymore. It's right. Better just to let that go. To let that go was truly one of the hardest choices I ever made, because it does have a cascade effect, like he was talking about. It's not just me and that one person. It now involves all of our closest family, because now there's this massive rift right down the center of our family, where one side's not talking to another side anymore, because I made the decision that this is it.
Right.
We've reached the end of our relationship, period. And not only was that the most difficult decision, once I was on the other side of that and had accomplished that choice, it was the most freeing thing. It felt like an elephant had been sitting on my chest, because it was so stressful to make a choice about letting somebody so close go. And it's still painful, but I feel so much better not having to deal with that in my life.
Right.
Because again, everything is energy, mm-hmm. and that is such a low vibrational energy. And in order to be with those people, you have to exist on their vibration, because they can't come up higher. They can't. They're not ready. There's just too much work involved. And so in order to be with those people, you have to go down.
When you're around lower vibration people, you're definitely going to go down. You're not going to go up. And the thing is that it also starts making you a different person. It's bringing out your ugly. It's bringing out sides, because they're probably people that trigger you, and they do things to you to where you might even decide to be like, you're trying to be like the Dalai Lama. And then the next thing you know, you're, raising your voice and getting really angry. And then you're like, oh my gosh. And it's like, you don't want to be like that, but it's just because it's this one person you're around.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, people think when you hit a certain vibration or you've achieved this level of spirituality that now you're mature and you can take all these things on. And that's not true. All those lower vibrations still exist within you.
Yeah.
What's smart is that you don't put yourself in situations that those come out.
Right.
You don't hang around with people that draw out that part of you, or go to places or have goals or things that drive you to that place. You start organizing your life so you hang out with more positive people. Mm-hmm. You start organizing your activities so you're doing more worthwhile things.
Right.
Things that you're passionate about, things you care about, being with people that you love.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's funny, because the general population has always had that little saying that says, you are who your friends are. And that's true.
It is.
Yes.
If you're hanging out with people who make you feel good, and you just have that warm, fuzzy feeling when you're with them, and you feel refreshed when you're done hanging out with them, and it's easy, and those are your people. And if you feel like that, chances are it's a higher vibration.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But if you're hanging out with people who are just, they're causing trouble, they're causing you trouble, there's just nothing but complaining and constant drama happening, that's a very low vibration. And if you're hanging out with low vibration people, then that's who you are also.
Right.
It can physically exhaust you.
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
Just thinking about being around that person can start to feel suffocating and exhausting.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that's when that's when I know when I've absolutely hit my limit with that person or people, is if I think of being around them and I start feeling physically exhausted, I know that I I need to let that relationship go.
Yeah.
So what do you do if that person that's causing you to feel that way, that you have the cord that needs to be cut, it's a coworker, senior coworker, been there forever. You have to work with them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What do you do? What would you do, Carolyn?
What would I do?
What would Carolyn do?
Hold
Hashtag.
On, folks. We're not sure if you want to do this.
Might want to turn down the volume on this.
You know what? I'm going to try to take the higher vibrational route.
But would you, though?
Right. I would try.
What would you really
prefaced it with try.
What would you seriously do?
So what I would seriously do is start using intention, like we've been talking about. I would use my intention that person who's clearly unhappy, no matter how long they've been there, and no matter how much more senior they are, if they're toxic in this environment that everybody else is fine in, they are not happy in this job.
Right.
I would try to use my higher thought process to use intention to help that person find their joy. You don't want to preface it in a negative way, because then you're now starting to wallow in the negative.
Right.
You don't want to wallow in the negative, because the point is, this person is unhappy.
Right.
They're not happy. They're coming to work. They're not happy. They're making everybody around them not happy. You want that person to find their happy as well. So setting the intention that they move on, that the universe works in their favor to help them find what it is that they need. Whether it's, you know, maybe they have a bad relationship at home and they're bringing that stuff to work and then they're just mean to everybody at work. Maybe your relationship at home needs to be resolved. Maybe they're scared about the money situation if they leave this job, that they can't replace it. So set the intention that the universe helps them find whatever it is they need in abundance and in love, to help them move into a place where they feel safe and secure, but can move to a new job, perhaps, that makes them happy also. Because truly, we are all connected. Even if we want to sever ties with certain people and move on because they've been toxic, some people, it's more difficult because it is a situation like this. So the best that you can do is perhaps sever ties so that you deal with them literally little as possible at work.
Right.
So that they affect you as little as much as possible. But try to send them into the universe in forward movement with love,
right,
and the higher vibration, so that whatever it is that's messed up in their world can come together and gel for them to move forward and be happy as well.
Right. Mm-hmm. We never want to think poorly of someone or wish something bad on them, because then that's just going to be karma back on you.
Like begets like, and you're creating in your mind thought processes that are working at a certain vibrational frequency, and now you in your own head are lowering your own vibration.
For me, when it's like you're in a situation with a coworker, I feel like what I can do is also have my protective bubble around me. Also try to not interact with that person as much as I can. But when I am in a situation interacting with them, it's just really putting out just a protective, you know, shell. I do try to imagine just like this, you know, white light with just, you know, golden, sometimes silver, you know, like glittery shimmers in it, just surrounding me, like really just protecting me. And it's helped before. I've definitely had situations like that. And then I feel like it's like that negativity that they have can just kind of bounce off me. But I also try to remove myself from the situation as much as possible. I think it would be different if it was somebody that maybe you even share like a direct office with, or cubicle right next door, or someone you have to collaborate all the time with. I do think that would be very challenging. So maybe, you know, what we talked about earlier as far as Maybe you're not cutting like a direct cord complete with the person, but maybe you're cutting a way that you're feeling around them or what they're doing to you, cutting that and releasing that. Mm-hmm. So
that's a great point.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes you can't affect other people. You can only affect how you react to the situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's something about that person. Maybe it's not even really intentional. They're just an asshole and they're really triggering something deep inside of you. And once you figure out what that is and you're not able to really work through it, cutting the cord to that feeling, not necessarily to that person, but to that feeling, I think could be really beneficial.
There are some salt ceremonies and some other things. It depends on who it is and where it's at, but those are ideas for another talk, and that's a little more in-depth.
Bring crystals to your office.
Well, it's like Jason was.
Or just, you could bring the crystals to work and then throw them at them, which is also a physical manifestation of your intention.
There it is. There it is.
There it is. That's what we're waiting for.
It's like Jason was saying earlier, creating layers of intention, not just the one, you know, but like you were...
Multiples,
just,
yes.
Yeah, exactly. Bringing that back up. I liked that. Mm-hmm.
And we all work with people that are challenging. Mm-hmm. You have to decide, you know, how are you going to go about this? If you cut the cord, like you brought up earlier, when you cut certain cords maybe.
Right.
And then draw boundaries, physical boundaries, not talking to their higher self, talking to their physical self.
Right.
That's, we still need to work together, but when you do this, it really bugs me.
Right.
And so can we work on this? Or try to come up with some kind of verbal contract instead of cutting that cord, because that's I think people need to realize how serious, how effective it could be, but also how serious and final it could be. Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful tool. It's an important tool, but you have to use it
not willy-nilly.
Yeah, just not to everybody.
Right.
And that's kind of the fear when you hear something like this. I didn't even know cord cutting existed, and then all these people that could be cut out of my life. Some people are here for a reason, even if it doesn't feel great at the time. Again, no physical abuse, no emotional abuse. Some people are challenging, and that's part of your mission, is to learn how to deal with those kind of people.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But also have the cord cutting ceremony in your back pocket should you need it, because just the experience that I've had with Carolyn and what she's had to go through, I see how effective it could be. Mm-hmm. And how life altering in a huge way it could be.
Definitely.
Setting your whole course towards a better, higher vibrational way of living.
Mm.
That you wouldn't have had if you had dragged yourself down to all these little anchors on your boat holding you still. You know, you've cut those, and now you're moving to where you need to be.
Right.
And whoever's not rowing with you can get off the boat.
Right.
Yep.
So let's go around and give some final thoughts on our cord cutting ceremonies, and what are they, and why do we do them? Amy?
Carolyn?
Carolyn.
a final thought is that cord cutting is amazingly effective when you do it with intention, and you need to be careful about what you're doing and why you're doing it. You need to be thoughtful about it. Just don't do it willy-nilly, and definitely don't do it just because you're mad about something. Mm-hmm. Everything in the universe is energy, and when you are severing your ties via energy, it's a real thing. It's really happening. Just because you can't see it doesn't mean it's not really happening. You can't see ultraviolet light either, you know, or any of the other wavelengths that are higher or lower than our color spectrum, but it doesn't mean that they're not there.
It's a really good analogy.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
You have anything else to add, Amy?
one of the things that I think was very similar to the last episode that we did was the sort of the thinking outside of the box. So, you know, the physicality of setting intention. But in here, cord cutting, you can layer those intentions instead of, you know, just a cord cutting, attempting to protect yourself first using mm-hmm. crystals or, you know, whatever method, salt yep. or,
energy bubbles.
You know, energy bubbles. Yeah, all of that. And then providing layers of intention. So I really liked that. And I also thought it was really important, the point that you made, Jason, about cutting the grass versus the root. If you don't get to the root of the issue, if you don't cut the root, then, you know, it's just gonna, that grass is just gonna keep growing, or that bamboo, oh gosh, like we have in our backyard, the bamboo, you know, it'll just, that energy connection will just keep reappearing over and over and over. Mm-hmm. Tristan?
I think my final thoughts would also be then, because both Carolyn and Amy touched on some great things, mine would be really on focusing on the aftermath of the cord cutting and the reward behind it, the benefits. A lot of times there might be a little bit of, you know, fear and certain things, but when you really come to the place and know 100% that it is the right thing to do a cord cutting with a person or with an, you know, idea, object, different things like that, remember that it is a very freeing process. That energy that is a negative, toxic energy, it's weighing you down. I know for me personally, I felt it many times, and it's such a weight, and it's exhausting. And once that cord is cut, it's like, you know, you can finally breathe again. The weight's just lifted. You're in a higher place. And it's like, you know, it's almost like, you know, envision yourself almost just like running through an open field on a sunny day, just like arms outstretched and, you know, just yelling freedom. I mean, that's about how I see it. It's a very wonderful thing. And it also will lift you to higher places, because these certain people in your life can keep you down to where it restricts you from even your purpose. It can keep you from you doing certain things in your life that you're supposed to do. But these people can pull you down and actually say words or maybe have actions to where they can actually act as barriers to certain things that are supposed to be opportunities that you're supposed to do in your life.
That's true.
Well,
yeah.
Well, I think you guys wrapped it up perfectly. I don't have anything else to say about this.
And thank you for listening. All right. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.
I have to work on that.